you turn back with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And when we turn away, mark your place here for, I think we'll be back. As difficult as it is for us to think about the wages of sin, it is a blessed individual that ever thinks about it. Everything's okay in most everybody's life. But God shall require full payment of every law that we've broken, of every command that we've not fulfilled and come short of. It must be paid. And I've got but one hope, and that is that it was paid at Calvary. And if in traveling I trust homeward to that blessed place where sin will be no more, we strive against sin. We don't want to commit sin. But it's very few traveling with you, as you well know. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 11. And it will be some time before I deal in particular with the text this morning. My heart has been troubled all week. Grieved at the condition of the church. I'm glad we're where we are, but we like a long way being where we ought to be. And I want to speak to you this morning, verse number 11, the last thing that she sees concerning his head. Well, she'll see his eyes later, but this is his head. She says his locks are bushy and black as a raven. So you know she's talking in spiritual terms and language. Would you bow with me as we continue on this morning, hopefully to the glory of our dear Lord. Our Father, it is not in us as to determine when you will visit your church again. Visit her in power. When we will see hearts stirred, which is that we've not seen. When we all have but one purpose in life, and that is to glorify our Savior now and forever. To be sensitive to Thy Spirit, follow Him, find out afresh and anew what conviction of sin is either we might stop our carelessness, our indifference, and come to a dedication that we read about of saints of old. My Father, help these dear souls in giving them hearing ears and an understanding heart. Create in their hearts interest to know about this one the bride speaks about his beauty. Give help in rightly declaring and set forth only that which is pleasing and honoring to thee, and that might be a help to these souls. My Father, would you, in your great mercy, give us of thy Spirit in speaking and in hearing. Glorify Christ. And may we come to see him in a degree as to how she saw him, and follow him in love. In his name we pray. Amen. His head is as the most fine gold. Dealt with that. And now this morning, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. And I know we'll be back to this hopefully shortly, but I know that the matter before us will only be of interest and only will hold your attention to the degree that this one she's talking about means something to you. There is no topic or any subject that will hold your attention unless it is of great value. If Christ is becoming, how she is describing him, you can count on this, that there will be a warfare in your hearing, with your hearing. If he doesn't mean that much, then you won't have a warfare. You can hear, and in hearing, not hear. I don't have many little ones here, and the two that are avid sports fans are not today. But if any of you admired a famous athlete, I mean he was on the news constantly. He was doing that which seemed impossible for a human being to do. And you liked him, and you found out that he was my best friend, I'd hold your attention if I ever started talking to you about him. Or if I had made millions, haven't, have no desire to, don't want riches, I'm like Solomon. Lord, give me neither riches nor poverty. For in riches is a good possibility I'll forget thee, and in poverty I might curse you. But if I had made millions knowing how to invest and how to turn a dollar bill into 100 or even more, and you had an interest in increasing your bank account, your investments, then I could hold your attention as I talk to you about that. For some time, I would tutor students on Thursday nights because they had an interest in learning, those that were taking the advanced subjects. They wanted to know about it because they knew they would need it in pursuing a degree beyond high school. But it wasn't long till others found out that I was doing that, helping some, and they just invaded the sessions. But they didn't have an interest other than, and this was the question from night to night as I was there, will this be on the test tomorrow? And I never would tell them. Even accused of some, well, if this was your boys, and that's one thing, number one, they never asked me, for they knew that if they did, they wouldn't get that answer as to what will be on the test. And I finally quit because so many were coming that just didn't have an interest in the subjects. Now, supposing that you need one course to get a 4, a 6, or an 8-year degree, or even beyond, and you're down to one final class, and you've saved that purposely for last, for you've heard how difficult it is and how stern and strict the professor is. But from day one, as to when it began, the class began, he would have your attention. Or if what they call the pandemic that we've been in, coming out of, if it had loomed 2, 3, 4 years, and people dying all around us, and hospitals closed, doctor's offices closed, and the only help that you could get would be online, and if this was a death or life situation for you or one loved, when you sat down in front of your computer, you would be the most attentive person that there had ever been, because life or death would be in what you learn. Let me give you this verse as we proceed on. You don't need to turn. Proverbs 9:7, he that reproves a sinner shall get to himself shame. And he that rebukes a wicked man shall get to himself a blot. But he that rebukes a wise man, he will love thee. I hope you will know which of these categories you fit as to your reception. Now, I don't look for anybody to get angry. The messages today don't affect us that much. But if it did, you would know, am I a scorner? Am I a wicked man? Or am I a wise man and will take all and any rebukes? You'll know as to which of those groups you fit. And over the next few comments prior to getting back to or looking at his locks. Now, I listed above for your, in your hearing, some things that might hold your attention. But above everything that I've named, we come to one greater than any medical crisis, any financial crisis, any crisis in home, we come to one greater. That's even greater than finding information when you weren't able to go to your physician, finding information that would help extend your life 40 years. Or get a degree and come out making six figures at least. I set before you one greater than anything I've mentioned. And that's your eternal health and well-being. And let me give you three examples. Don't see these anymore, though I know that God has some children and some that are striving to please and serve Him. Let me give you three examples. One in the generation before, and two in two generations before me. First of all, there's a saintly lady in New York, and for years she's been taking into her home all the women and young girls that would come from her church. And she's been teaching them what God required of them as a wife, as a mother. She has devoted her life to them. And if you ever sit down and talk or listen, her conversation is always about the Lord. Always. There's just such a union between those two. Now the other two have long since departed. One was in North Alabama, Lawrence Church, but it was possibly before her mom and dad ever married, in a meeting up there. And the pastor told me about an aged lady there in the congregation, and he said she's had a son that just arrived home from an overseas tour, 2 or 3 years, I don't remember. And she said to her son, I wish you would go with me tonight, but I cannot miss gathering with the people of God. Now, son, you know where everything is here in the house. And you just make yourself at home, and I'll be back shortly after the service is over. And then another 40 some years ago, probably, maybe 45, 47, I don't remember. But I was asked to preach one Sunday afternoon in the home of a bedridden lady. I didn't know. I knew some of her children that belonged to my parents' generation. And the only text I had, and the only text I could get, was Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now you can imagine throughout the week the opposition within. Even me or the devil or both of us saying, you don't need to preach to one that is on her deathbed and unable to get up about saints dying. Or I thought constantly, you're going to make her family mad. But as I got into it, and particularly when I left, I was glad that I didn't find another topic to deal with that Sunday afternoon. I'd searched for it, faced many accusations, very strong. But all these left as I opened the scriptures to Psalm 116. And as I spoke to one so feeble, there was a gleam in her eyes and there was a glow on her face that I thanked the Lord on the way home that He wouldn't let me get away with anything else but that. Now that type of dedication and that type of saintly living is all but gone. So we come back to Song of Solomon 5:11. I want you to ask yourself, how important is the spouse's beloved to me? Does it mean that much? Is He the one that is above everything in my life? Oh, you love your children, you love your spouse, but there's one above them. I do not diminish that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But there's one above your wife. Wives, be in submission to your husbands, like as was Sarah, that saint of a lady. Be in submission to your husbands. Now if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs 8 is dealing with wisdom talking. Of course, that wisdom is the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 8, verse number 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now listen. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You lay it up, I will fill their treasures. You laying up treasures is God by the Holy Ghost. Is He providing substance lasting substance, substance that will help you in time and carry you all the way into eternity and throughout eternity. Is He? You open your book, are you listening to Him? Trying to hear Him? Sometimes you won't. Not always due to carelessness or negligence. Don't be discouraged if every time you open you don't get a word, but are you coming for a word? You bend your knee, do you gain substance? Are you talking to a being? How different it is today compared to the saints of God in past generations. How very, very few have a real interest in the bridegroom. Where's your heart right now? Can you leave here satisfied? Only by hearing somebody tell you about Him. Or do you come with this great interest within that God might do to you as He did to Lydia? He opened her heart as Paul spoke, and she attended unto and attained substance in her soul that day down by the waterside. You come seeking? Do you come looking? Do you come searching? Do you really have an interest in knowing the details about the one described here? And this is what's bothered me this week. Why should I go on setting Christ before you if you don't have an interest in Him? What a difference a couple of generations have made. Leave a son home one night that you haven't seen in a few years because you had to be at the church house. Dear old Brother Hubert used to tell us back in my early years as a pastor and he preached in so many different places. He said it took something great to keep a person out of the house of God. Now an earthworm crossing the road will keep them out. Honey, we better turn around today. How is it, dear souls, that the one that died for our sins, that paid our debt in full, that the one that is the way, the only one that is the way, the truth, and the life for all that will enter glory, how is it that He means so little to us? I've got a good friend, very dedicated, sincere, very faithful to the house of God where truth is proclaimed. But he told me, and it's been within this month, within the last month, let me put it like that. Years ago, he took one of his boys to his friend's house so he could attend early church there and then have time to get to the tournament, I think championship. But he didn't go. He left him and he turned around and he went to his own church. I said, I bet you got a lot out of the service that day, didn't you? And in jest, he said, you know I did. He said, no. I sat there thinking God was going to kill me that day for what I'd done. And therefore, before I go on and I speak to you about his locks, do you have an interest? How is it that the beloved of the spouse is not the chiefest of 10,000 to us? You know what salvation's like today? It's like a bride and a groom walking down, or the groom's already there walking, and she walks in down to the front of the used to be church, now it's everywhere. And the one performing the ceremony gets through and they both say, I do. And she goes out one door and he goes out the other door. And if by coincidence they run into one another years down the road, so what? That's about what our so-called marriage to the Lord Jesus, to the beloved, is. We say I do to him and go our separate ways. If you weren't united to him, the salvation that's described throughout Scripture, it's different from the one you got. If when you said I do, you didn't go home with him, and there wasn't a union, and in that union you began seeing who he was and who he is, and how he suffered, and how he paid your eternal debt, and he'd capture your heart. You say you already had it before we married. It'd grow more and more. And then in our union to him, we'd begin to find out what that great command means. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And how we long to know him who is our life, who is our all in all. The only reason we're here, not only in the building this morning, but in life, he brought you here, and in his good time and grace, hopefully he brought you to a confrontation with the Son of God. And now you spend your time, what time you have, learning him. Now we long, the true child of God longs to know the one that did so much for us. An old 19th century pastor, he said, the Holy Ghost has been pleased to put all nature under contribution for an illustration and figure to show us the beauty, the grandeur, and the glory of Zion's beloved. The mineral kingdom with its diamonds, its rubies, and its gems cannot provide sufficient to describe our beloved. The plant kingdom cannot produce the roses and the lilies and the flowers to manifest the sweetness that we find in him. And the animal kingdom sets forth a degree of his strength, of his majesty, of his meekness, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb of God, the ox, for strength in laboring for the children of God. But in all these, the old man said, they can't bring to view the glory that's in our beloved. But God set them out there in front of you to help you. Well, I guess you see, that's been kind of a long introduction. But I don't want to come to this or go on any further than this unless he has your heart and you've got an interest in finding out about him. Now back to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5 and verse number 11, the text I've quoted. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His locks are bushy. Long strands, thickness, and the fullness when you look at his hair. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever need you have, whatever need the church might have, you find there's a fullness there, and he is sufficient to provide every need you've got. God manifest in flesh. John 1:16, of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. His locks are bushy. Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. All these things. Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And from that fullness there in him, there flows to his people his completed work in fulfilling the law of God and paying our eternal debt. Fullness. His head was bushy. I mean his hair, his locks were so thick. That's because in Christ Jesus there was the fullness of the Godhead body. Rest in him rest the fullness that every child of God from Adam and Eve till the last one is converted and brought into an image of him. There is in him sufficient need. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't even need to worry about today. Sufficient for the day is evil thereof. You've got enough. It all comes from his fullness. And I look at all my failures, all my sins, and the inability to do what God said do and God demanded. And I look at his head and I see there his fullness as my only source of help. Whatever I need, it's in him. All my needs he will supply. Just as you mothers and fathers, you'll do all you can to make sure that your children have what they need. Don't be so lavishly spending on them. Teach and instruct. Second of all, his locks are black. You may not believe this, but there used to be a time when my head was solid black and my beard was solid black. Now, that was back in my days when I was strong. Back in my days when I could do something. Youth and strength. Now, Revelation 1, you see him there as white. His hair is white. Well, that just represents his eternality. But she's looking at his strength, his vigor, his willingness to do for her and his ability to accomplish what he sets out to do. The beloved, her beloved, your beloved is God, one in the Trinity, possessing all the attributes. I and my Father are one. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, unlimited in power. Psalm said, the Lord speaking, Psalm 89, I have laid help on one that is mighty. Of what benefit is it to go and seek help if they don't have the strength to accomplish what you want them to help you with? Why ask them? But if I know in Christ, my beloved, there is sufficient strength, I can go. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He'll come in. From Moses down through the prophets, you'll find time and again all the way to Habakkuk. The Lord is my strength. You find out He is my present help. God doesn't take a day off. God doesn't snooze at nighttime and leave you alone. Full of energy. Eternal, almighty, omnipotent strength to do for you. And you one day, if you haven't yet, you'll find out how weak and helpless you are. I'm not talking about in the physical realm. You find that out too if you live long enough. But you'll find out how weak you are in the spiritual realm. And that's when you look to one hairs black. He's strong. And you'll find out your strength then lies not in yourself, but in one that is mighty and strong, and one that has become your beloved. Gideon and Israel went out with 32 men. And God said to him, that's too many. So he said, all right, all of you that are afraid and fearful, go home. I think it was down, I'm afraid to say, I think 20,000 or 20,000, 22,000 left. Down to 10,000. And the Lord said, that's still too many. If you go in with 10,000, all of you come out boasting, saying, look what we did. God said, take them down to the river, and I'll test them one more time. And all those that stick their face down in the water to drink, send them home. But everyone that on his knees is looking around and staying alert, you set them off to one side. And there were 300 men left that didn't engage fully in that which would have satisfied their thirst. God said, you take the 300 men. You'll find out my strength in and through you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. That's good. I don't like to be weak in my spiritual man. I don't like that. But it's good that we might be brought to an end of ourself, our own strength and ability, that we might find in Him our strength, our sufficiency, and everything we need. God said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. There sits one mighty on the throne today. All I got to do is get to Him. He'll give me everything that I need. Sometimes not everything that I want, He'll give me everything I need. So it's good for you to be brought there. And how blessed is individual when they find out just how poor a creature they are. How poverty. In what poverty they live. And in that condition, God, and God's going to do it to you now, children. You just look out. And in their weakness and inability, God's going to enable you to look to one having all strength and power. And with that, a willing heart, because the bride's more loved than her beloved is by her. And in bushy hair, there will always be a sufficiency. How many saints from the first that are in glory have been nourished and are nourished by the Lord Jesus? And how many on earth today? The number seems small, but it's greater than what we know. Sufficiency. He supplied millions and millions of souls throughout time, now in eternity, because on His head there's that bushy locks, those bushy locks. There's sufficiency for every child. And in that black hair, black as a raven, their strength. Isaiah 40, he shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. That's a good place to be. They shall all be born by me, God said. They come forth from the belly. And are carried from the womb even till old age and gray hairs. I will carry them. And the bride has come to know something of His sufficiency and something of His strength. Psalm 8. Onlookers say, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Well, it's the same one here. And no wonder in the wilderness she leaned on Him. She found out He had strength sufficient. And omnipotent power. She sees from His head of fine gold His sovereign reign over all things. She sees from His bushy locks the fullness of that head of hair. She sees the fullness in Him and His sufficiency. And in that black hair she sees His strength, His vigor, His ability. Oh, dear soul, you can walk out unaffected, unmoved by such a sight that you didn't see. May the Lord bring us all, continue to bring us all to such a place as she. And raise us to that plateau where she sat that day, looking at that head of gold, bushy locks and black locks. And I pray, God, empty you who are dependent on your own strength, and put in you a need to get to Him.